want to start out this morning with a question. Do you or are you trying to do God's will? If you are, please stand. If you can't stand, raise your hand. Of course we are. We all are here to try to do God's will. The second question I have for you, do you believe this verse right here? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
If you can't, just raise it a little higher. Now you all say. What I've done to you this morning is I brought you into this lesson. This lesson is to you, it's about you, and it's for you this morning. So everyone stands, we're all a part of this lesson this morning. That means keep a sensitive ear because I'm talking to everybody in this room. Mm-hmm. You know, the lesson this morning is called Rebuilding the Fallen Wall. So there's a few things I want to do to prep you for this. We all believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we all know this memory verse probably by heart because we say it. But have you really focused on the verses prior to that? In verse 11, it says this, and this is Paul speaking, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Paul said he has learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So if I can do all things through Christ, it doesn't have to be a perfect circumstance, correct? So no matter what our situation, no matter what our life is, we can understand that we can do all things through Christ. He even goes further in verse 12. He says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So no matter what our life situation is, we could be hungry. We can realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Whether we don't have anything and we have plenty, we can realize we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's going to set you up for this lesson as we go talk about what we'll talk about this morning, rebuilding the fallen wall. But there's a couple more areas I want us to talk about. I want to put Christians in three categories. The first category I want to put Christians in is that one who hits the ground running full speed and has that attitude. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can run right through that wall if I wanted to. Don't get me wrong. That's a good thing to have because we need Christians when we need to get something done that we're willing to jump in there and make things happen. Perfect example of that is VBS here. Because those who've been involved in VBS in the past know that we transformed this whole building. We transformed from one time to another, from a train station to a fire station to a boat. And all those who've been involved, we transformed from this whole building. And people like Tom and Russ and a lot of y'all that get on the ground and get going and make this happen. But what I'm talking about a Christian here is just going so strong and so hard, just like that runner, sitting there running right along and gets to that intersection and makes that left turn and keeps on running and doesn't even see Jesus standing on there and I say, I need you to go right. Sometimes we've got to listen. We've got to hear what God has for us. Listen to the Spirit. Now, the other Christian category of Christians is this one right here. You want me to do what? No, wait a minute. Time out. I come to church. I sit in my little pew right here. I'm comfortable. I sit right here. And right on my list, it says, I'll come to church on Sundays. Sunday mornings when I can, and Wednesday night to let you know I get out every once in a while. But I sit right here. When we sing, I sing. Not very loudly, but I sing. When the contribution comes around, I give a little bit of money in there. When Russ gets up here and speaks, I listen to part of it. That you want me to do what type Christians? When God tells us, I want you to speak to your neighbors about me. And that's, do what? You want me to speak to my neighbors? Why do you think I got a fence in my yard? So I don't have to talk to my neighbor. We have those Christians that are comfortable, that come and sit there and do their things and feel like they're doing their part. But what I want to talk to you this morning is about this Christian right here. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Because that's what we need in this time and age. We need those Christians who want to listen to what God has to say for them, where their path is going. Get out of that comfort zone, because I'm going to try to demonstrate that this morning by leading singing, because I guarantee you, very few of y'all ever heard me lead singing this morning. But we need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to have this type of attitude. Here am I, Lord, use me this morning. And we're going to do this by talking about the book of Nehemiah, the rebuilding of the wall. If y'all haven't listened to Russ, and I'm sure you have, but listen to Russ. He's got a theme going on. You heard it last Sunday. You'll hear a little bit more of it this morning. He has a theme going on. Before we did our lessons in Genesis, he was talking about a revival. When he was teaching the classes, the Sunday morning class, he was talking about a revival. A revival here at Edge Hill. A revival with ourselves. A revival with our neighbors and our co-workers in every aspect of our life, that we need to have a revival. He talks about his little Jerusalem, that we need to start focusing on our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem here at Edge Hill, our Jerusalem at home, our Jerusalem at work, our Jerusalem with our neighbors, and tear down some of those fences maybe. Having those type of relationships. So I want us to talk about Nehemiah and talk about that rebuilding of that wall. That was a rest. We talked about it. To have a revival. That's what they were doing. Having a revival. Restoring that wall. Rebuilding that wall. And re-erecting that wall. You need to know, they built that wall in 52 days. 52 days they were able to restore that wall. And this wasn't a small wall. This was a wall that was stood around for a long time. This was a large wall. And when I did the research on it, it was 8 feet to 16 feet deep. It was 20, 30, 40 feet tall. It had towers and gates. It was huge that went around Jerusalem. It went around the whole city. So this morning, I want us to talk about restoring our wall, our wall of faith, our wall of relationship with God, our wall here around this Jerusalem this morning. I want to talk to us about being able to do that, restoring our soul, because it takes work. So I got 5 principles I want to talk to you this morning about how to restore our wall. We're going to all get it out of Nehemiah chapter 4. If you want to turn over there. And there is your outline. You have the outline here in your bulletin of exactly what we're going to talk about this morning. The first point I want to talk about that you need to realize when we're going to restore our life, or restore our soul, or restore our relationship, or rebuild our faith, that you're going to have external opposition to serve. As soon as you start getting busy for the Lord and start doing what you're supposed to do for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. You need to realize that. People are going to turn against you. People are going to try the devil. Your adversaries. When I talk about adversaries, I'm talking about the devil. When I talk about throughout the lesson, that's who I'm talking about, the devil and people trying to prevent you from restoring your life. So you've got to realize that you're going to have external oppositions against you. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2, the green highlight area that I have up here, you have to read along with me on this. What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer a sacrifice? Will they finish the wall in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble buried as they are? In verse 3, if you read on the verse 3, it said, even if they built the wall, if a fox jumps on it, it'll probably fall down. You're going to have oppositions against you for doing God's will. Just realize and understand that. Realize this also. We all have rubble in our life. There's nobody in this room that doesn't have some type of trials and tribulations and something that needs to be rebuilt in their life. Every one of us have it. Maybe our faith needs to become stronger. Maybe we got to get out of that comfort zone and start being more active in the church. Maybe we need to start talking to our neighbors about Christ and Jesus. Maybe we need to be more proactive at work and let people see that we're Christians. But we all have rubble in our life. So this, like I said, applies to every one of us this morning. The second principle that you need to understand, prayer is essential. You can't rebuild anything without going to the architect who created it. You've got to go back to God who created everything to rebuild anything in your life. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. You've got to go back to the great architect. And we got to come together as a congregation and pray. We got to come together as individuals and groups to pray. We need to pray individually, daily, about the things that we're trying to restore in our life. It's essential. And Nehemiah 4 and 5 talks about this. But in Nehemiah 4, it says this: "Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own head. Give them over as plunderers in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sin from your sight, for they have thrown their insults into the face of the living." What's this verse saying right here? This verse is saying turn it over to God. You have oppositions who are working against you, don't worry about it. You work on what you need to do to rebuild the wall. Let God handle your opposition. Let God handle those who are trying to work against you. This is what this verse is saying. Turn it over to God because He'll take care of it. He'll take care of what they're doing to you. So we got to face everything with prayer. And we'll see that even a little bit more as we go along. But I also want you to think about this. We can develop a strategy through prayer or in prayer. How am I going to handle this? How am I going to rebuild this part of my life? Or if I'm struggling with faith, or if I want to make our relationship here at Edge Hill better and do more. Develop your strategy through prayer. Because that, like we were just saying, the great architect, there ain't a greater architect than the one that created it. So that's who we should be turning to. Principle number 3. People must be willing to work. We're not going to be able to rebuild the wall. We're not going to be able to grow here as a congregation if people are not willing to work. You got to have the mindset of being willing to work. In Nehemiah 4, verse 6 tells us this. "So we rebuilt the wall till the wall is reached half its height, for the people working with all their hearts." You gotta have a heart willing to work. Basically, you gotta have a mind that you're willing to get in and do what it takes. You're gonna have to get your hands dirty. You can't get comfortable coming to church every day and expect that's what it's going to take to have a good Christian life. You're gonna have to get involved. You're going to have to get involved here at Edge Hill. You're going to have to get involved out in the public with your neighbors, your co-workers. You're going to have to get involved. And you're going to have to find ways. You've got to have the heart that I want to do, like that slide earlier, the Christian that we're talking about, that Christian that said, "Hear my Lord, use me. Use me how you want, Lord." And we got to look for those opportunities. But you're going to have to get your hands dirty. You're going to have to look for opportunities that I use all the time to make a difference in people's lives. You're going to have to look for that opportunity to jump here, in here at Edge Hill to make a difference here. You're going to have to look up for opportunities to make a difference with your neighbors. You can't pull in your driveway and go in the house and not have anything else to do with them if you're a Christian. You got to have to make a difference. You're going to have to get dirty. You can't set the rules. God sets the rules. So that's what we need to realize. You know, Nehemiah's whole concept is this. When the wall comes around you, it is time to rebuild. It's not, it's, when things fall apart in your life, when trials and tribulations hit you in the time in your life, that is the time to start getting busy and rebuilding that wall. Rebuilding your faith, rebuilding your relationship, restoring the soul of the Lord, restoring your relationships through the struggles with your family. You have difficulties with your families, and we have a tendency in our minds and hearts, let them be mad at you. That is time for you to rebuild that relationship in that family. You have problems at work with a co-worker, that's time for you to rebuild that relationship with that co-worker. You're a Christian. You need to rebuild those relationships. You're having struggles with anybody, you need to start working and rebuilding that. If you're having a tough time with a Christian and struggling with the Lord, it is time to rebuild. It's time to get to work. That's when things are the worst, is when we need to get to work and realize these things. Principle number 5, keep your eyes on the work. So this can be so hard at times, keeping your eyes on the work. But in Nehemiah chapter 4, 7 and 12 talks about this, but look at verse 8. It says this, that they all plotted together to come and fight against the Jerusalem and strive up troubles against it. But look at verse 9. But we prayed to our God. That strategy. We prayed to our God and posted guards day and night to meet the threats. They prayed. What are we going to do? We'll pray about it. But look at verse 10. Look what still occurred. Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, the strength of the labor is getting out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. You gotta remember, that was a huge wall. That was a lot of rubble. It was down to a rubble pile. They rebuilt it in 52 days, but they got to a point where they looked around and went, wow, this is just too large of a feat. And we got people trying to stop us from doing it. So often we find ourselves in the same boat, do we not? Life's trials and tribulations start to hit us. They start to get on us. We look around at all the problems that we are having. It may be marital problems. It may be financial problems. It may be co-worker problems. It may be problems with the neighbors. And we look around and we look at ourselves and say, hey, how can I do this? And we start to sink down in the storm. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, because if we keep our eyes on Jesus, he'll pull us up. He'll pull us up, because he can walk on the water. He can walk on the storm. We need to focus on our work. We need to focus on Christ Jesus each and every day. Because we cannot let the trials and tribulations of our life pull us down. Because they will. If we take our focus off the work, the wall won't get built. Our faith won't become stronger. The work won't get done here. Our relationships with Christ won't get better, because we let the world's storms sink us down. We've got to stay focused on the work. Another thing that we need to consider this morning is that when you realize God's purpose for your life isn't just about you, he will use you in a mighty way. Once we start realizing it ain't about us, it's about the reason and the purpose that we're here. When we take our off the prize and realize what we're truly working for, it has nothing to do with what's here on earth. So when we start focusing on the prize and realize it's not about us, God will start working miracles through us. He'll do mighty things through us. That's what we need to realize. Keep our eyes focused on the work. Fifth principle. Renewed vision and strength we need to have. If you're satisfied where you're at, you're falling back. If you're satisfied, I'm satisfied where I'm at as a Christian, you're falling back. You always got to have a revival, a renewal of Christianity. This year's got to be better than last year. That's what your focus should be. What I achieved in the Christian last year has nothing to do with this year. Where I'm at in faith last year has nothing to do with this year. Where I am in my relationship with God has nothing to do with this year. You should be reviving yourself, renewal, strength, moving forward with Christ. So if you're just sitting there happy and same old things occurring every week, there's something wrong. You don't have that revival. You don't have that renewal of life. We have to have it. In Nehemiah chapter 4, 13 through 23 talks about this. But I want y'all to look at verse 14. After I had looked the things over, I stood up and said to the noblemen, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of your adversaries. God got this, as we talked about earlier. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Our God is great and awesome. We need to realize this. This is the part that I like. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And he fights for your family, your sons, your daughters, your wife, and your home. You know, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and if I'm working on my wall and doing what I'm supposed to do to try to rebuild my relationship here at Edge Hill, try to rebuild my faith, my relationship with God, if I do all those things and I work on that, the Lord will take care of my family. He'll fight for my son, my daughter, my wife, my whole family. He's fighting those battles for me as long as I focus on what is right. So if you're facing those trials and tribulations, you need to realize God's got your back. He's fighting those struggles that you're having. A lot of that means a lot, knowing that if I do the work, he's fighting the rest of the battle for me. You need to also realize this. If God is all that you have all that you need. No matter if my family turns against me, no matter if my friends turn against me, honestly, no matter if everyone in here turns against me, if I have God, I have all that I need. Because he's going to provide the rest. But if I'm doing what I'm supposed to, all those other things that I worry about will be taken care of. I have everything in God that I need. And we need to focus on that. So often we kind of play that so-so. But we really need to realize that God has to be in every aspect of our life. The whole book of Nehemiah is about this. From troubles to triumphs. Rebuilding God's way. You heard me talk about going to the great architect. Because he's the one who created all this. We got to rebuild our life back God's way. And we'll go from troubles to triumphs. We'll win all the victories because God's going to be on our side because we're doing what we need to do. Just think about this. If I build my wall working hard, just talking about Edge Hill here. If I build my wall, and Jerry builds his wall, and Chris Palm builds his wall, how'd you think they got that wall built in 52 days? They all focused on their work, what they needed to get done. The next thing you know, they had a whole wall that was between 20 and 40 feet high, 16 feet thick, and around the whole city in 52 days. Just think if we all work together like that, what we can accomplish. Because I will tell you what Satan wants to tell us. Satan wants to tell us that we can't do it, that it's impossible. That Edge Hill's where it's going to be, faith-wise, strength-wise, knowledge-wise, growth-wise, everything. We're at what we're going to be. But that's not what God tells us. God tells us that no matter where you're at in your life, there's more better things for you to come. If you focus on your wall and focus on your work. There's so much that we can accomplish as individuals and so much that we can accomplish as a church. Family, our little Jerusalem that Russ is focusing on this year. Taking care of those things. But I want you to remember this. Is remember that God is great and awesome. We got a great and awesome God. There's nothing that he can't accomplish and he can't do. And we really need to realize that. But I know that y'all focus Brother Bear, I know you want me to do more here at Edge Hill. I know you want me to do more with my neighbors. I know that you are struggling, that you want me to do better at work. But I'll be honest with you, I'm struggling with my own life. That's probably the majority of us that are struggling. Jerry's going to come up here in just a moment, and Dale's going to go to the back. I know I've talked for a little while this morning, but I want to show you a video, and then we'll go into the invitation song. But I want you to realize something this morning from this video that I'm about to show you. You are God's original masterpiece. You need to know that. You say, how can I restore myself? That's the first wall that you'll probably, each one of us will have to work on, is rebuilding our wall and our relationship with God. And so often we get discouraged of our sins, our trials and tribulations, and we look at ourselves and say, I can't do this, Lord. But you need to realize that you are God's original masterpiece. So give me about 12 more minutes. I'm going to show you this video. It's an awesome video. And then we'll lead into the invitation song.
My name is Dave James, and we're called the Skip Guys. What you're about to experience is one of our favorite pieces, entitled God's Chisel. It's something we put together to help you understand your relationship with God, why He created you, and what He thinks about you.
Yeah, you see, at a young age, some of us, we were told that we were junk, whether it was from a schoolyard bully, or maybe it was someone that we loved and trusted. But here's the truth. You are not junk. That is a total lie. You are God's original masterpiece, and you are His handiwork.
That's exactly right. Now, but by the way, if this was given to you as a gift by someone, consider that a great compliment. They're trying to communicate to you just how important you are.
So sit back and relax, and we hope you like God's chisel.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso or something. But I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer, and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me in the image of Your Son. Make me a masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi. Hello.
Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. It's how it works.
Okay. You're God, then make it snow here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Well, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm running out of playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What game am I?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I did that. Don't I? I did it again. Yeah. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm making my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay.
Hang on. Yeah.
I thought you were Arthur.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay, God. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything you like that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? I showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually taught me the term Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here, maybe 4, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way.
compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out.
I don't really have a problem with lust. You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I gotta admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than that. No, and I don't want myself to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
What you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we'll take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here, and then, you know.
It's just that you never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me. Whenever you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel, chisel.
But can we chisel wrong? That's called control.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And this right here is secret sin that you keep running to when you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired. But you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage.
The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, but it hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
No, talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are going wrong.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are going
wrong. Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. From the beginning. I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah.
You and I both.
What? No one is
nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
If I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, Kyle.
No, child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. Chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find. Your mind comes inside. Because I get it every morning. And I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, there's this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... Be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices. For
for far too long that were not for me. And you have totally gone into lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I just meant God to do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name of all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in my pocket.
Oh, my God.
Shh. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side. Sorry.
Today. Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you, I must know I messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you already used me? But I feel so useless. Maybe you'll take me and use me. I need you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental bush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you went into life thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. Be a good cheater. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God.
I don't like the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So, God doesn't make junk. You are the original masterpiece.